Today, First Lady Melania Trump is meeting with tech industry leaders at the White House to talk about cyberbullying. And as we continue our series on bullying, we're going to hear in a moment from someone who says he regrets bullying someone online when they were younger. But first, Francie Deep. When she was 13, she became the victim of cyberbullying. And years later, for an article in The Atlantic, she confronted the woman she suspected of being her bully. Francie, start by telling us what happened.
Well, I'd had a friend. She was probably my best friend in school at the time. And we had a sort of a falling out. I don't really know or remember why, and I think she doesn't either. But after we had this falling out, I noticed some things happening in my email. So I would log into my Yahoo account and all my emails would have disappeared. And sometimes there would be one email left in there with a nasty note to me. And yeah, the worst thing that happened was that whoever was doing this would leave reminders in my calendar for me to kill myself.
Really? Just you would get a calendar reminder saying you should kill yourself?
Yes, I don't remember exactly how it worked, but I do remember, you know, I would just be browsing on my computer and then I would get this sort of pop-up reminder, often for late at night.
And this went on for how long?
For a surprisingly long time, 3 years, I think.
3 years. And this person had your password, right?
Yes, that's right. So I never fully confirmed who it was that did this, but the girl I'd been friends with when I was 13, I knew she had my password. It was actually because at some point we were playing on the computer together, and I typed up my password in to log into my email account, and I'd accidentally had my cursor in the username box, so she saw it. And it was an inside joke that was actually between the two of us, so, you know, it was she knew what it meant. And at the time, again, the late 90s, there was no way to change your security questions. Mm-hmm. So I would change my password. And then because the security question was also an inside joke between us, this girl was able to just change the password to whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted to get in. Just because no one else would have known the answers to these questions, she must have been at least involved in one of the break-ins. But it's possible that she shared the It's possible it wasn't all her, but it had to have started with her.
What did this do to you?
You know, I was very unhappy. I think kids are always unhappy in junior high anyway, but this didn't help. And as I talked about in my story, I did at some point want to die, which sounds very funny for, you know, I was a little girl from a loving family. Living in a beautiful town in Washington State, it seems strange to say that I would have wanted that. But, you know, you don't have a lot of great emotional regulation at 13 and 14, so things seem really serious when things go bad. I would say I had trouble making friends and, like, trusting friends afterward. But I made it through. I got into a college out of state, which is something I really wanted, and went away to college and lived the rest of my life.
And did you tell your parents or friends while this was going on at all?
I did tell my friends. I did not tell my parents, which is horrifying when I think about now as an adult. That is the scariest thing to imagine, being a parent and having a little girl, 13, 14, 15, not tell you when something like this happens. That said, when I did confront my bully later, she also said she would have never told her parents. It's hard to get back into that mindset because it's just a strange one, you know, being a 14-year-old girl, but at the time it seemed inconceivable. I thought that adults would make it worse somehow.
Now, you did end up contacting and confronting this person years later. What happened?
She was on Facebook, so the wonderful thing about social media is that you can never get away from these old people. She was on Facebook. We had a lot of mutual friends. You know, we'd gone to junior high and high school together. I can't remember exactly now how I convinced her, but it took a long time. I remember that sort of messaging her on Facebook back and forth before she would talk to me. I tried to get her on the phone, but she never did want to talk on the phone.
So what did she say when you confronted her?
She said at first she didn't remember anything, and then when I sort of told her more details, she sort of admitted to remembering more. She did admit to breaking into my email. She said she didn't remember setting the calendar reminders. Sometimes people ask me if I believe her. It's hard to know. It seems incredible that she would not remember, but it's also possible, I think, that those calendar reminders were very scary for me and stuck in my mind for a really long time, but it may not have been that big of a deal to her.
Or she just might not be telling you the truth now.
Yes, I mean, that's also possible. So it's either that or she honestly doesn't remember because it wasn't important to her. I think that's also very possible.
Do you feel better having confronted her?
I do feel a lot better. That's actually not an effect I expected. I was like, okay, I got to do this for the story. So I did. But in the end, it was amazing. One totally unexpected effect of this bullying was that it stuck around with me for a long time. You know, I felt so good about myself. I was like, okay, I'm going to college. I'm going to live my adult life. I'm going to be a writer, which I always wanted to be. But I would still check her social media accounts. Social media makes it so easy to do things like I looked up like her wedding pictures, and it made me feel bad. It made me feel bad that I had the urge to do that, and it made me feel bad doing it. Like, it didn't feel good, like, looking her wedding pictures. Like, that's weird and gross. So after I confronted her, the urge to check up on her really went away. Writing about this, talking with her did make me feel a lot better, and I'm so happy it did because it was not something I expected to happen.
That's Francie Deep, who is a writer with Pacific Standard Magazine. We'll link you to more about her story at hereandnow.org. Francie, thank you.
Thank you.
And now we turn to Tyler Gregory, a former cyber bully, now a project consultant for National Organizations for Youth Safety. Tyler, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And when we say that you're a former cyber bully, tell us what that means. What did you do?
Sure. So it was my junior year of high school, so it was about 7 years ago. I grew up in a very small town, very rural community, a graduating class of 63 students. And I had my core group of friends. There's about five of us. And one of the other friends in this group, his name was Scott, he started hanging out with another girl from a different school, and that didn't really sit well with the rest of the group of friends. We're like, you know, why isn't he wanting to hang out with us? Why would he rather hang out with her? And so, you know, the four of us, we kind of went on social media and took out our frustration towards this girl whom we had never met. And looking back, I'm like, how in the world would I have been able to have said some of the things, you know, talked about her weight, we talked about her appearance, and really just to make her feel bad. I think it really stems from, you know, doing cyberbullying. You don't have to, you know, you're not face to face with the person you're bullying. It makes it a lot easier. You're not seeing the reaction. If there is a reaction, you're not, you know, giving them an opportunity to necessarily retaliate unless they message you back or comment on something like that. And it all came to an end once we were at a fundraising event, and one of the other friends in the group got on the phone and told this girl that, you know, the world would be a better place without you. Why don't you just kill yourself? And that really, you know, struck a chord with me, because I was like, I never really thought about that. You know, I never thought that the things that we were saying could actually lead to her harming herself. And, you know, that's really when the bullying stopped after that point. And, you know, Scott, the friend who was hanging out with her, got involved and was like, you know, you guys stop, just everybody stop, basically. And that's kind of when things stopped.
And as you look back on it now, do you understand why you were involved in that in the first place?
To an extent, you know, like I said, it was a small school. So it really was about fitting in. It was about, you know, just getting some laughs out of my friends. And as messed up as that sounds, it's very common amongst schools all over the country now.
And have you ever apologized to the girl?
Yeah. So a year later, it was Labor Day weekend, Scott and I had actually started an anti-bullying campaign, and we were at this fair of sorts, and she happened to be at the festival, and we saw her, and we, you know, took the opportunity to apologize. And I'm really glad that we did, because, you know, at that time we were getting a little bit of local media attention for the anti-bullying efforts that we were doing. She was seeing this on social media and on the news and stuff, and was like, that this is not the person I know. And so it was nice to have the opportunity to apologize. And she said, you know, she was glad that we were doing good work.
What would your advice be to a bully?
My advice for a bully would be to really just take a step back and think about what you're doing. We don't know what everybody's going through, whether it's our coworkers, our neighbors, you know, and the students who we sit next to in class every day. We don't know what happens at home. Even maybe some of your close friends, you might not even realize some of the things that they're going through. And so we basically have the power to control how people think about us. You know, when I look back on high school, I remember the people who weren't necessarily so nice, and I remember the people who were, you know, extremely nice. You know, if you have that option to control how people view you, why not, you know, choose the positive way?
That's Tyler Gregory, who is a project consultant for National Organizations for Youth Safety. He's been talking to us about his former life as a cyber bully. Thankfully, that is over now. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Jeremy.